Congregation, there are two scripture readings this evening. The first one is from John chapter 5. We read the verses 31 through 40. That is John chapter 5, and we read the verses 31 through 40. And there we read God's word. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. So far the first reading of God's word. The second reading is from John chapter 8, and we read the verses 12 through 20. John chapter 8, the verses 12 through 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. The text for the sermon this evening is the first part of verse 14, John 8, verse 14. The following words, Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. So far. Beloved congregation, what patience the Lord has with this world, with all the iniquity and all the curses and all the transgressions of his commandments. And yet the Lord lets this world continue on until the moment will come that judgment will take place. But what patience could you stand it? If all people around you would laugh at you, would despise you, would turn their backs against you, while you had the power to obliterate them, to do away with them in a moment. What patience. And what patience the Lord has with me and with you, with the sins we commit. And we do not know half of the sins that we commit. What patience. How good is God. In John chapter 8, we also see patience. Great patience. For the Lord Jesus has been discussing with these Pharisees, explaining to them patiently over and over again who he is and that he is upholding God's laws. But the Pharisees are continually going against him. What patience. The patience is not endless, but it can take a while. But when his patience runs out, then it is terrible. Then there's no mercy left. Then he will dash them to pieces with an iron rod like a potter's vessel. Psalm 2. Well, here the Lord Jesus is showing patience with these Pharisees, because they don't believe him. They don't want to believe him. They know that he's saying the truth. They know they can't say anything against him. They know he's only doing good. But they hate him. And then when the Lord Jesus has declared that he is the light of the world, after he has set a woman caught in adultery who was living in the darkness of sin, which was making her life miserable, because sin never makes a person happy, it always makes a person miserable, and the Lord had delivered her, told her to go away and don't sin again. The Lord had showed her the light. And then after that, the Lord Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world. And those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then the Pharisees, they are criticizing him for this. Because they say to him, verse 13, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. So what does that mean? You are witnessing of yourself. And that witness cannot stand. Because anyone can say anything he wants of himself. But it has to be supported, has to be corroborated by at least two others. And you are just saying from yourself. So we don't believe what you're saying. But how mistaken these Pharisees are. Because this is not the first time the Lord Jesus has been speaking to them. In John 5, he also said the same thing to him, that his witness is only of himself, it's not true, and who bears witness of thee? And then the Lord Jesus had said in chapter 5, verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness indeed is not true. If I just claim something for myself without any corroboration, without any support, any witness, then it's not true. But there is another. There is someone else that bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. This is a reference to whom? Who is this other witness that the Lord Jesus is referring to in John 5, verse 32? Who is that witness? It is John the Baptist. Because the Lord Jesus said, when you sent to John the Baptist, well, he witnessed of me. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." John the Baptist had pointed out the Lord Jesus to be Israel's Messiah. And then the Lord Jesus continues on in chapter 5, saying that he does not even have to consider the testimony of John. And even goes so far, "I don't even accept the testimony of other people to corroborate me, to support me. No, I'm not going to appeal not even to John the Baptist. But what I'm going to say now is, so that you would be saved." The Lord Jesus is going to explain who is actually witnessing with him. And he's doing that so that you would be saved, that you would not perish. And I don't need witness of a man. The Lord Jesus is stating that he is the Messiah. The scribes and the Pharisees understand that very well. And then the Lord Jesus in John 5 refers to three other witnesses. The first witness, he says, are the works, the signs, the miracles I've been doing. No man has ever done what I've done. Those works show that I indeed am the Messiah. It's a literal fulfillment of what the prophets have said. My works, my miracles, they testify me. The Father have given the Son these works to finish his works, his signs, the miracles, the healings. And besides that, in John 5 verse 37, the Father himself bears witness of Christ. Yes, God from heaven spoke loud and clear to all those who were present at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's the second witness. And there's a third witness. That's in John 5, verse 39. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Well, they are they that testify of me." The Scriptures. I'm the literal fulfillment of the Scriptures. If you're at least willing to read and to listen. So in John 5, the Lord Jesus has referred to the witness of John the Baptist. But more than a John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus focuses upon his works, God's testimony, and the testimony of the Old Testament Scriptures. So the Lord Jesus clearly stated that he has at least three witnesses who proclaim to these Jews clearly, loud and clear, that he is Messiah. And that his testimony is therefore true. And then the Lord Jesus gives an extra confirmation that he is the Messiah, that he is the long-promised Savior. We find that in John 8, in verse 14. The Lord Jesus is not going to repeat what he said in John 5, but he's patiently giving these scribes and Pharisees another sign. "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For, because I know from where I came and where I'm going to. But you cannot tell that, from where I am and whence I'm going to." So the Lord Jesus knows exactly where he came from. He came from heaven. He testifies that. He knows that. And he knows also where he is going to. He's going back to heaven. That blessed place where the angels are, where there is peace and love and everlasting blessing. He was from everlasting in the immediate presence of the Father. He was in the bosom of his Father. There was a mutual love between the Father and the Son and God the Holy Spirit. That's from all eternity. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. But they are one God and three divine persons. And before the foundation of the world, then already, the triune God consulted together about the salvation of elect sinners. And there the Lord Jesus Christ stated that he was willing to lay down his life as a ransom price, that he would bear the punishment, he would take the sins of all those whom the Father had given him. So he would take their place, be their surety. He would be beaten, smitten. He would be tortured, reviled, beaten, forsaken of God, he would descend into hell where I should have been and where you should have been. That's what he did. That's what he already arranged and promised before the foundation of the world. And the Lord Jesus knew it was in God's plan. He would rise on the third day. And then he was going to be exalted. He will be taken up back into heaven. And he would be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And the difference between his first being in heaven and the second being in heaven is that now the Lord Jesus has earned the ability to save sinners. Because we can say God can do anything, but that's not true. God cannot violate his own righteousness. And so in order to save a wretched sinner while upholding his own righteousness, something must happen. Then God himself must become man, and God himself must bear that punishment. That's the unimaginable, the unbelievable reality that we must believe. And wherefore we must be humbled, whoever we are. And that we become very, very, very small for such a God. And that so we desire to have his image imprinted upon our life. That we exercise patience. That we exercise something of that love. That's our calling. Also to one another. And if we don't do that, then we're outside of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus gives here a glorious self-revelation of himself. He was saying to these Jews, he came from God and is going back to God. And therefore, when he says, I'm the light of the world, it's perfectly true. It should be accepted. He is the truth. He is faithful. He will uphold his people. He will never let them fall. You know, these things have pertained to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The fact that the Lord Jesus descended so low, so deep, because we have fallen away so far. It's something to reflect upon at the supper. And that God proves his love that he gave his Son while we were yet sinners. And he took your place. It's something to be reflected on at the Lord's Supper. And there he underscores, I for you, lest you should have perished forever. And then our hearts must break. And then we must have a total meltdown before God, who did so much. This is his record. It's true. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Whatever they tell you out there, they're lying. But we know in the church the truth. And you all need Jesus Christ as your Messiah to penetrate your hard heart and to make you a different person. Ye must be born again. We know the truth. In this coming season, we hope to instruct one another from the truth. We're hoping to start up a season. It's already, the beginnings are there already. A new church season. We call it sometimes the winter season. Well, it's still not winter. It's not even autumn or fall officially. But for the forthcoming season, we hope to dwell on this truth in his house, at catechism instruction, Sunday school. What a blessing. We have the truth. You know all the discussions going on, what is true, what can you believe, and conspiracies, and people get upset, and people draw conclusions which are far-fetched, and what is true, what can you believe? Well, we have the truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is coming back to judge the living and the dead, and that he is now calling you to belong to him. That you would love him with everything you have. That you would learn to live for him. And we, with all our hiccups and all our sins and all our self manifestations, upholding ourselves, has to fall away. It's not me. It's not my way. It is thee, O Lord. Thy will, thy spirit working in me. That's the aim of our life. Lord Jesus is the truth. And we have the truth, congregation. We must hold on to that truth and not let it slip. It happens in many circles, also in churches. We must love the truth and personally dwell upon the truth in our private lives, begging God for his mercy. I need mercy, and so do you. And the Lord Jesus, he is the truth. What does the Lord Jesus then say? Well, he says many things. Let's look at a few things. The Lord Jesus says, ye must be born again. Without me ye can do nothing. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister to you and me. And that must happen. Otherwise we can't be saved. He testifies that he would conquer death and that he paid the full ransom price, tetelestai. It is finished. It's paid in full. He testified that he would be with his people all the days, every day, in days of difficulties, in days of persecution, in days in which you may be ostracized, put out, whatever, every day. And he will return to judge the living and the dead. And every knee is going to bow before him. Every world leader will bow for him. Every tyrant will bow the knee for Jesus Christ in that day. Not because they want to, but they have to. Before their condemnation. And the Lord Jesus speaks of those who will be with him in glory, but also of those who will be in the everlasting fire. His record is true. We are to believe his words and drink them in. Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. And it's exactly because the Lord Jesus knows where he came from and where he's going to that we should accept his word. He's been there. He's seen it. He has done it in the past. And now he's back in heaven. And how do you see that he is the truth? You have to experience that in your heart. Only those who venture their lives upon the Lord Jesus, who learn to trust him, they will experience that the Lord Jesus says the truth. Then you experience how awful sin is. Then you experience his loving kindness towards you and the peace he gives that's through his Spirit. And then you also know where you came from a lost life, on your way to perdition, or you were very neat and very nice, but you were lost. You were under his wrath, but he entered your life and he saved you. And now you know where you're heading for, to be forever with him in glory. You experience this. And it's underscored at the Lord's Supper. For there it's testified, do this until I come. So though I bear record of myself, my record is true. How we need the Lord to be in our midst. We're not worthy, I'm not worthy, and neither are you. It should fill us with pain as we say that. But yet how we need his presence in our midst as a congregation. You need him, I need him. And that's why we're here in a prayer service. Is there lukewarmness amongst us? Are there those who are intoxicated by the world? Are there those who don't really pay attention, really, to Jesus Christ? Who are keeping him outside of their lives? Who refuse to give up? Who refuse to surrender? Are there those in backsliding? Listen to him. His record is true. We need to love him, to follow him. And our children need to learn that. And our lives must drip godliness in the way we walk, in the way we talk, in the way we behave ourselves. And so, You and I need self-examination. Always. But especially in this week. And that we would pray that His truth would dwell in us. And that we would be a witness of His truth in this world, at college, at the university. Yes, also there. In your work environment, that we would witness that Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen.